This idea of somehow being influenced or misdirected in some way is massively concerning, because right now, I mean, obviously in history there's been lots of mistrust of government, but right now I've never seen it. I mean, I've been my grandpa moved to Calgary in 1905, and so our family has lived in Calgary forever. And I've never seen the mistrust government I've experienced now, and how much citizens are just not trusting the government, regardless of what they say. And that's scary at the same time as massively unfortunate. And I agree with what you're saying, that this WEF and UN, initiatives and challenges that are coming forward are very odd. And then at the same time, when the provincial government says we want to make sure we're controlling this to some extent. One of the problems is initially your immediate reaction is not of one of relief. It's one of, oh, what are you doing now with that? What are you going to do? What are you going to take? What are you going to make it harder for us to get access to money? And our biggest problem is that the reason the government, federal or provincial, is giving us back money is that's our taxes. So they're giving us back taxes that they shouldn't have taken in the first place. Like, our taxes are so high. And what we've identified in Chestermere is that we actually in our third year, we're going to reduce taxes approximately an additional 20%. And that's unbelievable that we are able to find these kinds of savings in a situation where our city has had massive tax increases. We had a 300% tax increase between 2010 and 2014.
We are so pleased that Mayor Jeff Colvin is joining us tonight for part two of our series on exposing municipal corruption. Jeff was the democratically elected mayor of Chestermere, Alberta, where he was doing an excellent job of weeding out government corruption, reducing taxes, serving Chestermere residents, as well as finding millions of wasted dollars and fraudulent and inefficient governmental processes and excesses. As a result of his courageous leadership, Jeff and three of the city's councillors were fired. All four men are facing extreme intimidation, but they're not remaining silent. In fact, they've embarked on a province-wide speaking tour in an effort to reveal the truth about what's going on in Alberta's municipalities. We are so grateful for Jeff and others who are Canadian heroes as they stand up for truth, even at great personal cost. Joining us now to dive deeply into the rest of the story is Mayor Jeff Colvin.
I just want to welcome you on the show. I know that you were rushing. There was like four of you or three of you in a vehicle traveling to get to your destination, and then you've joined us on the
Yes.
show. I can see that there's a little problem with your internet connection. And so we'll work as best as we can. If there's a little bit of a pause, I'm going to pause when I speak to give you an opportunity to hear what it is I'm saying, and then the same vice versa. If I can just share my screen for a moment, because I think that all of you men are very worthy of being noted of who you are. That's Action for Canada's map. And the reason I had that up is because I want to show that nationwide, we want to be in every town and community where there is a township or a municipality to take back all levels of government and to support incredible mayors and councillors like the guests we have on the show tonight. So there was a CBC article, and it said, "Ousted mayor fights to get his job back in Chestermere, Alberta." And I think they've been illegally, it's just criminal what's happened. And again, then there was this these images of each one of them. So of course, this is Mayor Colvin, and this is, I understand, Stephen Hanley, and am I right to say Blaine? I think that's Blaine Funk, and then Mel Fote. So I hope I had that right. But what I wanted to do, if this was my image, I would have put most wanted. This would have been a most wanted poster. And the reason is these are the kind of individuals that we want running our cities. And their story is absolutely phenomenal. So Mayor Colvin, I know that you were removed, and I know that people have questions. One of my major questions is I want to hear your story, how it came to that point, why you ran to become the mayor and how that came about. But I'm so confused. We've got so many corrupt mayors and city councilors across this nation, and we can't get them removed. It's like impossible to do. So how in the world did the Minister of Municipalities, Mr. MacGyver, manage to make that happen? So I'm just going to hand the floor over to you, and we'll start from there.
So I was elected, and our councillors were elected on October 18th, 2021. And we were removed December 4th, 2023. I had lived in Chestermere for about 25 years. And my background is in the construction industry, as well as, you know, all kinds of subdivisions, commercial construction, office buildings, residential subdivisions, and also utilities, water and sewer. So it fits kind of the mold of what a lot of what cities do. And so as a resident, I just started noticing that there was a lot of irregularities that the city was experiencing. First, I thought that the city was being taken advantage of by the construction industry. Then after trying to help and offer assistance to the current mayor, which is the past mayor, Marshall Chalmers, I started to realize that there was more to the story. Initially, I thought that the construction industry was causing them the problems, but after talking with them, I realized there was more to the story, and that not everything could be explained as simply as the construction industry being a problem. So what ended up happening was after identifying that they had some major construction projects that made no sense, and had major cost overruns, we started to see that it was really time for change. And so in looking at those opportunities, I decided to run for council. And at the same time, obviously, the three councillors that were successful that were removed ran for council at the same time. And what was the difference between our council was predominantly business people. And so that added a big difference for our approach to government, I guess, the way in which a city operates. And when I started, what we found out was that a lot of the staff were blocking us when we were in council from getting access to financial information. And what was odd about that is, being in the business environment, you're very used to everything's about numbers. Everything has to be, because you have to hit your bottom line. You can't have a situation where, it's possible, I guess, in the private sector to lose money, but obviously the goal is that you have to make profit. And if you don't, then you typically go out of business. And so we approached that same perspective and attitude towards government and said that, you know, we've got to make sure that our shareholders, which are the citizens, our taxpayers, that their money is being spent appropriately and not being wasted. And how can we stretch that money rather than just take the approach of, you know, let's just keep increasing taxes and let's just waste taxpayers' money. And that wasn't a popular approach. The staff were not happy with that idea. And we faced a ton of resistance when we started to look into the details around what they were telling us. When we first walked in, they told us that we needed to raise taxes 25% to our residents. And we said, well, let's take a look at those numbers and let's see why you're saying that is so severe. And so we had not known at the time, because it had been kept quite secret. The previous administration had lost $1 million in 2020. We ran in 2021. And that had been, it's not accurate to say hidden from the public, but had definitely been not been shown that it was, they experienced a loss. And what the government did at the time is they told all of the residents that things are going great, that we're actually going to provide a 2% tax reduction because things are going so well. And then later we find out that they're hiding a $7 million loss in operations. So that's very, very wrong. And transparency is one of the biggest things that we ran on, and cleaning up corruption. And so when we started to look into the financial statements, that's when we started to see that there was major concerns, and our staff were actively trying to stop us from getting access to information. When we started asking questions about some of the financial statements, some of the staff actually quit and walked out the door, which was kind of shocking. It was like, geez, we haven't even said anything. But it was, they knew that we knew what we were talking about. And some of our counselors, Stephen Hanley is really a guru when it comes to the financial accounting side, and his ability to understand numbers and the offsetting impact of what you're looking at was instrumental in us determining that there were some major issues. And so within the first month, we had our CAO come to us and indicate that he wanted to pay out a mea culpa. Sorry. He wanted to ask us for a mea culpa, which is the ability for the mayor to forgive staff for wrongdoings. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Criminal wrongdoings? And he said, yes, things that are illegal. And I said, no, we can't do that. Not a chance. And so we ended up, telling him no. And then without being a beat, what he ended up doing was telling us that he wants to pay out some hush money. And of course we said no to that. We ran on a campaign of transparency and cleaning up corruption. We weren't willing to sweep corruption under the rug. That wasn't going to happen. So we ended up letting that CAO go in about 2 weeks. And then when he had left, we were able to find out what he had done. And we found out that he paid out $600,000 to two people. And in the government world, that's massively offside. It's illegal. So we operate on a budget. And so our budget becomes law because council puts that budget into law as its taxpayers' money, obviously. So if you're spending money outside that budget, and it's underneath $75,000, then the CAO must come to council for permission. And this CAO never did. And so we filed a lawsuit to go after these people that had done this. And they were all senior staff. This was our ex-CFO. This was our ex-director of HR. They'd been in the city for 5 years. And this interim CAO, which had been in the business 30 years. And we filed a lawsuit against them to recover these funds. And as soon as we were removed, Rick McIver terminated that lawsuit. And he did not want them telling the actual truth about what was being covered up. And that was, aka the hush money. So this kind of narrative is what we experienced during our first 2 years. We had numerous investigations that we'd asked municipal affairs to look into, and municipal affairs wouldn't look into one of them. And they actually stopped three investigations into conduct breaches, as well as collusion and corruption, alleged collusion and corruption between the RCMP, municipal affairs, and three of our counselors that were still in office today that Rick McIver did not fire. And Rick McIver, within 20 hours of us bringing these investigations forward to the public, and they were going to be adjudicated by an independent third party, Reynolds Murph out of Edmonton, which is a law firm, Rick McIver instituted a administrator, and his first task was to terminate that investigation and block it from happening, admitting that he never even read it. So it was a very frustrating experience, that's for sure. And there were so many instances around that we were uncovering. And what we didn't know at the time when we first started was that Rick McIver was the brother-in-law of the ex-mayor. And the ex-mayor was one of the people that was being looked into for some of this corruption. We had brought these alleged corruption to Minister McIver that included his brother-in-law, which we didn't know at the time. And after, in retrospect, we realized the response that we got because we did that.
One thing I would like to do for a moment is, because I think it's always very important that our audience put a name to a face. This is Mr. McIver. This is Rick McIver. And as mentioned, he has been in politics for a while, but currently he is the minister. He has been appointed as the Minister of Municipalities. And that was done by Daniel Smith. When he was appointed, there is a certain mandate that the premier gives him and that he is to comply with. And within that mandate, it says, it doesn't just say, you know, I'm going to ask you to do this. It says, I expect this of you. And one was good governance to improve the lives of Albertans and help our province realize its potential. It goes, as leadership, as Minister of Municipal Affairs, I expect you to work closely with your cabinet and caucus colleagues and the public service through the committee, cabinet, and legislative process to deliver the platform and commitment to. Then down below, and it goes, in addition, I expect you to deliver on further initiatives overseen by your ministry, including, I'll go to point two, continuing to monitor the Calgary and Edmonton Metropolitan Region boards, which is where your town fell into, to ensure they are serving the needs of their urban and rural residents effectively and family and fairly without unnecessarily interfering with the autonomy of small and mid-sized municipalities. It goes on to another point, maintaining and building relationships of trust, partnership and open dialogue with municipal leaders across the province and bringing feedback and solutions for these discussions with municipal leaders to caucus. And then finally, in collaboration with the Minister of Justice, reviewing the Local Authorities Election Act and making recommendations for any necessary amendments to strengthen public trust in and integrity of our municipal election laws. And so we're talking about municipal elections where you have all been unfairly removed from office based on the democratic process of the constituents within your riding definitely wanted you sitting representing them. And then finally, before I turn it over to you, this is Douglas Legor. And I just really believe it's important. Like if you see this gentleman at the grocery store, it would be interesting to walk up to him and say, hey, what's going on? Why are you going along with this? How about step aside and, say this is undue process and that the mayor and three councillors should be returned to office. I just thought it was important. I like to put names to faces. I like people to know who these individuals are. I like them to know that we're making their faces public. And by no means are we inciting any kind of hate or anything other than send them an email, send them a letter and ask them what they're doing. And so anyways, as far as I can see, the mandate of Premier Daniel Smith, he's in violation of that, and really, he should be removed and fired. He himself should be fired. He's in violation. So what do you have to say about that? I do not understand how they could remove you as mayor and council.
When we first got in and mentioned we were asked to raise it 25% and $5 million, which is $5 million. We were able to actually cut that $5 million out. Plus, we actually reduced an additional $4 million, and we added another $5 million of council initiatives, new spending to the budget that we were told the city was broke and, you know, had no money. And by the end of the year, we actually were able to save an additional $6 million off of that budget as well. So it was quite shocking, that revelation, and we were able to reduce taxes in the second year by a total of 30%. Which is shocking. Being on the outside looking in, when you're a public taxpayer, you think that the government must have ways of saving money, but you never really know. And until you get inside and you're able to actually look at how they're spending money, or AKA wasting money, that's when you start to see. And trust me, your people's intuition is correct. The cities are wasting so much money. We had a situation where I had asked for a boardroom TV, which was somewhere between a 70 or 80 inch TV. And I told the staff, I said, do not come back with anything expensive. I just need it for presentations. This isn't a movie theater. This isn't anything fancy. Just for presentations hooked up to a computer. And what ended up happening was they came back with a $100,000 quote. And I was speechless actually when I saw it, because I said, I know you were here when I said, don't waste taxpayers' money and let's get something that's reasonable. And yet they came back with a quote like that, thinking that it was absolutely okay. And I ended up with the CAO. He ended up going to Best Buy, and we bought an 80-inch TV for $1,300. And it accomplished exactly what we were looking for. And it worked the entire 2 years that we were there. And obviously, I think it'll continue to work for a long time going forward. So we did all these good things. And then you look back and you say, well, why in the world would Rick McIver remove you? And that's where it comes down to the continuous investigations and irregularities that we found that we kept passing off to Minister McIver, and hoping that he would do the right thing and actually investigate it, was just not happening. And within the first 2 months, we were the first city in the history of Alberta to have the fastest inspection called on it. Which is not a good title, but it does tell you that how could we be doing anything wrong in the first 2 months? And remember, when we come into council, we have a CAO who's telling us, you know, the procedures that you need to go through. We've got a city lawyer who's confirming the correct steps for us to go through. We've got a legislative manager who identifies the proper rules to follow when you're making motions and other decisions. And so all of these people are there to make sure you're doing stuff correctly. And then, of course, at the end of the day, you've got council, which is doing a democratic decision and voting one way or the other as to which way they perceive to go directly. Now, remember, at that time, we were actually about a 97%, 98% unanimous decision with our councillors. So it was very, very often that we all agreed with the direction we were going. But the one thing that was off was Rick McIver did not want these investigations to see the light of day. And so Minister McIver had this inspection, and we then realized that the inspection was off. After showing them the evidence and whatnot that we were finding, the breaches of conduct by our counselors, which we thought was odd. We then were presented with, we were then leaked actually some documentation that showed that our three, what we call them, rogue counselors, had been providing municipal affairs with fraudulent documents. They provided them with complete lies in documents. And we then produced this to Minister McIver and indicated that this documentation is completely incorrect, and here's the evidence to prove it. Like, we had one of the situations was one of our counselors, Shannon Dean, indicated that the mayor sold a piece of land without coming to council, without bringing any man to council, without consulting legal counsel. And so our cities don't have a lot of land for sale. Our city doesn't have a lot of land for sale, so. There was one piece of land that our city had a huge questionable transaction on back in 2014, where it's believed that the city bought this land for development, which I want to be really crystal clear. Cities should not be getting into the development business. They don't have the expertise and they don't have the risk profile of the residents in mind when they're doing something like that. We never hired counselors to become developers. That wasn't in cards. And if it was, okay, put it up front and then go after people's resumes that have that experience. But obviously that's not done. So long story short, was this property was a dog's breakfast for about 10 years in our city, because it made no sense. It was literally swampland, literally. Like, that was kind of the stories you hear. Anyways, this property, we had a developer that finally wanted to look at building on it. And they were actually going to also build a healthcare campus and an urgent care center with their own money. And so this came to council, and we were able to get this. The information was brought to council. We have motions proving that. We also have council a motion unanimously approving the purchase contract to sell it to this third-party development company. And then we also provided Minister McIver with the evidence that our legal counsel had reviewed the purchase contract. So everything that these counselors had written to Minister McIver was completely the opposite of what was actually true. And you're kind of incredible, but did any of that information find its way into the inspection document? Not one bit, not one piece. And that's what started to identify that there's something off with this inspection document. So we had lots of situations. As I mentioned before, we started that lawsuit to go after that hush money that was paid out. And the inspector actually indicated in the inspection report that the mayor signed two checks to pay out this stolen money. And it's like, we gave them the actual documentation from our TD bank account, from our City of Chestermere journal entries that proved that this was an electronic funds transfer that was paid out of our manual payroll entry. And so this was not actually checks. But these guys are so bad at their information that they actually said the mayor signed the checks. And so we showed them that there is, in the TD bank account, it says it's electronic funds transfer. It does not say that it's two checks and there's canceled checks in the back of bank statements or something like that. So this is the kind of stuff that we experienced. And Mr. McIver has no problem putting lies into documents, which is one of the things, reasons we're taking him to court. And to this day, the government of Alberta / municipal affairs is in breach of a court order by 4 months now to provide the record of evidence on how and why they were able to remove us.
Well, this is, it's very disturbing. And I would imagine that anybody that's been listening to your story unfold in the last couple of months, as taxpayers, we should all be outraged. We just shouldn't sit back and say, well, this is just more corruption in government. What can we do? I mean, there needs to be justice. Justice needs to be pursued. This is criminal. Can I ask, have you gone to Danielle Smith with this information? Have you had any response from her on her appointed minister of municipalities and the corruption? I mean, this seems quite blatant, and you have the evidence to prove that they are attempting to cover this up by removing the four of you. What has her response been, or has there been one?
Yeah, so we CC'd Danielle Smith, Rick McIver, Jason Kenney, when he was in office initially, as well as, of course, the Inspector Cuff, when we were sending all of this information, because we were providing hundreds of pages of proof. And so we provided these reports and clearly identified everything that was true, because we gave the actual evidence. And we gave that to Danielle Smith's office. And we requested Danielle Smith to send somebody down. One person that she trusts, is what I said, have them come down to our city and sit with us for a day. And we'll go through every inch of these things. And you can ask us any question you want. Nothing is off the table. And we'll identify everything to them. Guess what? Nothing happened. Not an inch happened by Daniel Smith at all.
Yeah, this is very problematic. I know that there's a news update. I just printed it off, but the head of it is Alberta to introduce legislation preventing municipal federal deals without provinces okay. And the reason I feel that this was important when I saw that title. It's like, oh, so you don't want the federal government making deals with municipalities, which is very important right now. I actually support that because, of course, the federal government is dealing with the United Nations and the World Economic Forum to implement this agenda to create 15-minute cities, take control. And the WEF has clearly said that the cities are closest to the people. And so they're the ones that we can buy off in order to implement these measures. And we see it happening nationwide. We're exposing it. Lots of people are dealing with the 15-minute smart cities, C40 cities, etc. So I don't want the federal government interfering with the municipalities because that's our community. We say what happens within those communities, and as long as it is applicable to the Constitution and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that's how it should go. Democratically, you were voted in. But I find that, shocking that Daniel Smith wouldn't take a look at what's happening between the provincial government interfering at the municipal level, when her letter clearly states that there are boundaries and that the provincial government needs to maintain a good working relationship without interfering with the workings of the municipality. And you're showing corruption here. And so many times focus is coming back to Alberta and seeing corruption. And it all leads back to Danielle Smith. I'm sorry, but it does. People think that she's wonderful and she's going to save the province because she's making all of these great decisions. But Jason Kenney is very responsible for locking things down during COVID, locking the pastors up. I mean, cruel and unusual punishment that came from our premiers across the country. And it's almost like in BC and Alberta, the former premiers were sort of slipped out of office. And then not in BC. We can't say that David Eby is any better. He's completely a tyrant and corrupted. But Danielle Smith, everybody thought that she was good. She was going to be a breath of fresh air and turn things around. But I'm now wondering, listening to you, if Jason Kenney was bad cop and this is good cop. And, it's very, very concerning seeing all of the evidence and hearing about this as if the premier's hands are tied and that she can't take steps to undo this.
In regards to the federal funding, you know, it's for a municipality, it's hard to say no to money. but at the end of the day, though, this idea of somehow being influenced or misdirected in some way is massively concerning, because right now, I mean, obviously in history, there's been lots of mistrust of government, but right now I've never seen it. I mean, my grandpa moved to Calgary in 1905. And so our family has lived in Calgary forever. And I've never seen the mistrust government I've experienced now. And how much citizens are just not trusting the government, regardless what they say. And, you know, that's scary. At the same time, it's massively unfortunate. And, you know, I agree with what you're saying, that this WEF and UN, initiatives and challenges that are coming forward are very odd. And then at the same time, when the provincial government says, we want to make sure we're, controlling this to some extent. One of the problems is initially your immediate reaction is not one of relief. It's one of, oh, what are you doing now with that? What are you going to do? What are you going to take? What are you going to make it harder for us to get access to money? And our biggest problem is that the reason the government, federal or provincial, is giving us back money is that's our taxes. So they're giving us back taxes that they shouldn't have taken in the first place. Like, our taxes are so high. And what we've identified in Chestermere is that We actually in our third year, we're going to reduce taxes approximately an additional 20%. And that's unbelievable that we are able to find these kinds of savings in a situation where our city has had massive tax increases. We had a 300% tax increase between 2010 and 2014. 300%. Criminal. Like, it's unbelievable. Criminal. And some of that was education funding. But it just makes no sense that our taxes are as high as they are, because we just proved that they can come down substantially, 30, 40%. We just proved that.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
City,
yeah.
yeah, our city could not manage themselves effectively. They lost $7 million the year before.
Well, when they're paying out hush money, I mean, I mean, for myself, I get this sick feeling in my stomach because I'm thinking about the people right now who can't put food on the table and have to decide it's the back to that. Do I pay my rent or my mortgage or do I put food on the table? And then there was a report federally that 2 million people were standing at the food bank in December, 2 million Canadians. This is unheard of in this country. This is an assault against Canadians. What is going on within the municipalities is a targeted attack. It's initiated by this UN global agenda. The premiers have very much been on board with the initiatives as well. And that's why I'm calling out Danielle Smith today that if you're not part of this, get yourself involved and resolve this matter of what's going on within Chestermere. Immediately investigate and remove Mr. MacIver. It is very evident to all the rest of us who have even somewhat a good IQ. It doesn't take much to show that this is criminal activity and they are covering up for it. And to me, I wasn't shocked about the savings that you had because I've known all along that our tax dollars are not being used wisely. Mayors, councils, all elected officials have a fiduciary duty to spend tax dollars in a manner that is the best, like spend it like your own funds, not like you're some millionaire who you know has so much money they don't you know care about that extra $100 for a pair of shoes. I'm talking about spending money like you're the average Canadian that needs to buy groceries and pay mortgages and do something special with their kids. That's how our mayors and councils and our government should be spending money. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think apathy is probably one of the biggest words that needs to be discussed. I know when I was, I am still a taxpayer, but before I was elected, I had a lot of apathy towards the government. I really didn't think anything I would do would affect anything. Anything I would say would affect anything. And quite frankly, I had experience where nobody listens. And so you're like, well, I got to go back to work. I got to go back to my kids. I got to go back to my family, my wife. And that became the only priority. And so what I was really surprised to experience when we got in was the apathy that staff had towards taxpayers. That one I didn't expect. So I was really surprised that they don't respect the taxpayers' funds and they don't care if they get a better deal. We had a dog park that came in at $475,000 just for the black chain link fencing. And when we saw that, because of our experience, in my experience in development and whatnot, I said, well, I put in a few kilometers of black chain link fence and how many linear feet are you putting in? Anyways, it came down to your prices are about 4 or 5 times what the industry price is for black chain link fence. What is going wrong with what you're doing? Like, what's happening? What is your procurement process? What is your RFP process? And we were able to build that same dog park for $75,000. And remember that 400 grand that we saved, that's pure taxpayers' money. That's a lot of money. not millions, but it's a lot of money. When you add everything up, it adds up.
Well, when you're talking about a $100,000 television that we could spend $1,300 on, I know that there was unauthorized payment. I'm just going to read from a list here of $123,000 to a U.S. company for the purchase of trolley buses, $110,000 property tax refund to a single landowner, city crews carrying out work on that same property, $102 a meal for 84 people, $8,600. I mean, it goes on and on. And then I know that when you said, is it LaForge is his name, came in and was overturning all of the good work you were doing, but there also, mm-hmm. I find here in I live in Surrey, British Columbia as well, and a former mayor, her husband was in construction and lining their pockets and getting these deals and providing jobs to family members. And if I'm not mistaken, remind me, but wasn't there something that you put a stop to in Chestermere where there was a rec center or something that was going to be built? And it was like, wasn't it nearly over $1 million you saved by stopping that initiative?
It was actually a $40 million indoor soccer field house. So this is just an indoor soccer field. I had been involved in a previous indoor soccer field that had been built about 4 years earlier, and the pricing was $7.5 million. And I brought that to council. And this is one of the things that actually made me run, is I brought it to council and I said, guys, respectfully, I think the construction company is taking advantage of you. Here, I went and got a copy of the construction contract, the design build drawings, as well as the name of the owner and the name of the owner of the construction company. I said, you guys, and I gave it to all of council, and I said, you guys should contact these people because you're getting screwed. And not one of them was interested except for Mel Fote, who ran again, who also is one of the people that got removed. The mayor, the CAO, none of them were interested in this conversation at all. And I said to myself, well, that's wrong, because you should be furious and you should be going, well, maybe it's a little different from the one that we're building, but what are the differences so I can help, so I can hopefully make a good decision on spending taxpayers' money? And so that's what made me run, was that this was a scam. This was a total scam. This, it maybe could have been, you know, if you put some pretty facade on the front of the building, add glass, add rock, whatever, and you know, that's another $2, 3, 4, 5 million. That's not another $30 million. And remember that wasn't a fixed price contract. That was a quote, and they were proceeding with that it's not called the best efforts basis, but they were proceeding on it with that being the targeted price, but not a guaranteed price. So that price would have been $60 million by the time they were done. And so this was really disgusting. So we showed that, and then we also showed that there was another field house that Rocky View County was building, and it was coming in at around it was coming in at $12 million, but that was for a 30% larger building. So it's incredible how these people are so bold to take advantage of the system. And the residents, unfortunately, the residents don't really put it all together. And I think there's lots of smart people in there, but they're not spending the time, and the government does not provide transparency. So they make it very difficult for the residents to look into stuff. Very difficult.
Right. And I know they put notices up, or they have to put notices up when they're going to construct something like this and move forward. But the majority of residents are oblivious. And one of the things that Action for Canada has been doing is appealing to our viewers to say, you need to show up from here on in. You need to show up at every mayor and city council meeting, because you are going to be absolutely blown away by what it is that's transpiring, what it is that they're pushing at those meetings, because they don't have opposition or pushback. So they're getting away with this. I mean, $40 million, you're in a small community. It's not like you have millions of residents. It doesn't matter. $40 million is $40 million. And I think that in the times that we're living in and the financial stress that so many people are under, that this is not a priority. Another thing that is not a priority is Pride sidewalks. Another priority is not all the bike lanes. Well, you can put a bike lane in, but why all the green paint? Spending thousands of extra dollars on the green paint. And I don't know if that's going on in your community, but that's going on here in Surrey. And it's just all of these extra costs. As you say, it means nothing to them because it's not coming out. Well, they don't. It is coming out of their pocket because they're paying taxes as well. But a lot of city workers are paid so well now that, you know, either they're cowards and they don't want to make waves, or they really don't care. They really don't care. And how do we make people care? And so for us, you are the ideal, you and the three councillors that got removed, because I'm just going to give people an idea of your resume. It says here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's 25 years in real estate development, raw land community development, office buildings, underground and over and above parkade construction, roads, water, sewer, storm, water design and construction, lake building, small dam and weir development and operations, water treatment plant, sewer plant, utilities and pipeline development and operations, hotel and restaurant design, construction and operations. And I know that Stephen has financial knowledge. I mean, you guys are no slouches. You guys are exactly who we're wanting to come in and run a council, and it is very evident that you were doing a superior job. And so I would really encourage our viewers to write Danielle Smith, tell her that you're not happy about the situation, demand an investigation and immediate removal of Mr. MacIver, and that these individuals get their seats back. This is a violation against our freedom and democracy and how things work here. And what's good for the gander, if they do not bring you all back in and to your seats, then this better set a precedence for other mayors and councils who are rotten to the core. And we have evidence that they're rotten to the core. This is just unbelievable, you know, that they're able to do this. And so you can comment on that, but please let me know how your time is doing, because I know you have another event. But I want to also ask about the relationship with the RCMP and what steps, if any, that they've taken in response to, because this is criminal, paying out $600,000. This is against the law. You have evidence of it. Where are things at?
Yes, we do have time. I wanted to talk to you on three things: transparency, bike paths, and the RCMP. So one of the biggest things about transparency is real transparency. Now, the problem is that if you have apathetic voters or residents, and the ones that know they're not getting transparent information, if they're not stepping forward and letting everybody else know, you won't realize that the cities are intentionally not giving it to you. And one of the things that we did when we first got in, and this is one thing that residents should push for in every single municipality, is that the city should not be banking developers. And you say, well, how are they doing that? Because that's one of the perfect ways to stop corruption. So what happened in Chestermere is that the city would start a infrastructure project, whether that's underground storm, water and sewer pipelines, roads, and they would not have the developers fund it upfront. And you're saying, well, why would the city want to bank developers? Are you making 20%, 30% returns? Nope. Why are you taking risk? Because if the developers ever went out of business, and some smaller ones do, they're not going to pay back that money. And the way they pay it back is in what's called an offsite levy. And so what we did is we stopped all construction projects that the city was doing. And you can't do that for every little thing, of course, long term. But the point is that if you're going to stop corruption, you have to stop how it happens. And the way it happens, you don't just walk into City Hall and take $1 million. That can't happen. Good thing. But what you do is you start with a major construction project, large pools of money, and then you take pieces of it out. And so we stopped those construction projects. And what we did is we went to our developers and we said, you know, we took a look at the offsite levies and we said, honestly, our calculations say that you guys aren't paying enough. And they weren't happy. We raised our offsite levies by about 35%. And they weren't happy. But I said to them, I said, are our numbers wrong? And they admitted that they weren't. And so now to some of our developers, that was an additional $20 million that they had to pay. So it's not chump change at all. But I said, I'll tell you what we will do is we're going to massively increase the transparency of all of these infrastructure projects that we're charging you these offset levies on. And they said, okay, what does that look like? And I said, well, we want your engineers and planners and design people involved in the design stage of all infrastructure. We want them involved in the procurement. So that's the request for quotes, request for proposals. And then we also want them involved in the contract language so that they're identifying the scope that is the definition of what's being done properly. So there's not going to be things like change orders, where that's how construction companies make their next 30% is on change orders. And so what that did is that massively changed the situation. And we were able to, in our first project, which was a $17 million quoted underground stormwater, okay, which is big storm pipes, we saved $5 million on $17 million. That is unheard of, okay? Our developers were extremely happy because they said, hey, we just saved $5 million. We're happy because guess what? We used their engineers and their planners for free. You know, they've got tremendous bench strength. So our guys oversee this stuff to make sure the quality is there and the design solution makes sense. But that enabled us to have huge savings for the taxpayers and for the new home buyers. And so that transparency, though, you want your taxpayers to be able to see everything in that process. They want to be able to see the designs. You want them to see the quotes, the RFPs, all of those things. Now, not everybody's going to be super excited about reading that stuff, but that's not the point. The point is it has to be transparent. And that enables those that, hey, you're in the, when a taxpayer goes to their neighbor and says, hey, you're in the road building business. Does this make sense? And he can quickly look at portions of it and say, yep, it does, or no, it don't. And that clarity and that simplicity is what needs to come back into municipal situations with our taxpayers. Because lots of taxpayers are extremely smart at what they do. And so you want to get them involved because, again, what are you trying to do? You're trying to improve the confidence in government. And the only way you're going to do that is by being honest. If you don't show what's actually going on and show that you're actually making a truthful, common sense decision, well, how the heck is the taxpayer supposed to ever trust you? So just to jump to back bike paths, no, in Chestermere, we don't have on-road bike paths. But what we did do is we went to our developers when we're building this, like I talked about this stormwater plan, which was for underground of our new twin road that we were doing that had been held up for 10 years because of a lawsuit. And so not only did we resolve the lawsuit, it was for $15 million. We negotiated it down to $1 million and a solution that got the developer back his money through other developers because the city couldn't interpret an endeavor to assist, which is, it's kind of like a latecomers agreement when a developer goes and pays for something up front. Everybody else that benefits has to pay some of that back gradually over time. And so we resolved that. But what we did when we were designing that road is we said, why don't we build a bike lane and a mobility lane off of the road? And so instead of building a sidewalk out of concrete, what we did that's, 3 feet wide or something like that, what we did is we built a 15-foot wide asphalt lane off of the road that allowed the mobility scooters. We were in the process of approving golf carts actually too, to be able to be used around our city. And the cost of that was minuscule. It was tremendous, but it made a huge difference to our pedestrians and our taxpayers that were using those roads, because a lot of people are getting much more mobile these days, and which is a good thing. Now jumping to our RCMP situation.
Yes.
That was not a fun experience. So not only did we find collusion with our RCMP and Rick McIver and Deputy Minister Gary Sandberg admitting in writing that when they're investigating me and our council, they don't want anything in writing. They only want it by his personal cell phone. And you're like, well, that's kind of odd. If you want some evidence against me, shouldn't you get it in writing so you can use it in court so that you can do something with it? Instead, you want it all not in writing and only on your personal cell phone, which can't be FOIP. So not only did we find that, we found evidence with the RCMP being tied to the three councillors, which had been successful in actually trying to undermine the city by getting our loans called. So they weren't able to call our loans, but they were able to cut our lines of credit. All of the unused portions of our lines of credit, they were able to cut. They moved our bank loans from the city of Calgary to Toronto Problem Loans Division, which we had never missed a payment in the history of Chestermere. Okay, so how does that happen? And we uncovered evidence of one of our rogue counselors meeting with our bank manager. And our bank manager is not a bank manager that's in the corner bank at Chestermere. He's downtown Calgary because we have a $50 or $40 million loan where you don't just run into him on the corner street. He didn't even live in Chestermere, for example. So we uncovered all of these things. We brought this to the RCMP. And as soon as we bring that information to them of these corruption and potential crimes, they're supposed to take over immediately. And they did nothing. They wouldn't do anything. And long story short, we actually uncovered a plot where they were going to arrest myself and charge me with fake charges, as well as our CAO with fake charges. And how we uncovered that is the RCMP actually accidentally emailed us a copy of the situation report that they were trying to get approval for from Ottawa and from the K Division commander in Airdrie. And one of the assistants' names was similar to the name of a gal that was an RCMP officer. I mean, everybody does it. You push send and you go, whoops. And so we brought that to a criminal lawyer, and they told us that we had to get our offices swept immediately because they were accusing us of bugging the offices. Now, what they were saying our issue was that we were considering replacing the RCMP. And because we were considering it, they were going to file false charges against us. And so we had the building swept. And of course, there was nothing found in the building, but it gave us a baseline that stopped them from coming after us. Now, you know, it's kind of scary when the RCMP does something like that, because you got to remember, they're doing something that's illegal. There is no evidence of it occurring. And yet they're willing to risk their careers to do something like that. Well, what might they do if they pull you over at night in your car and plant something in your car or do something else that's, you know, dangerous to you as a citizen?
Well, can I ask you, have you filed an official complaint against these RCMP officers to have it on record? I've always been told over and over again that when you file a complaint about the RCMP, they take it very seriously. But even if the top brass aren't, it's on record. So have you done that?
So we actually went to the Justice Minister and the Minister, the Deputy Premier, Mickey Amory and Mike Ellis. And we filed a complaint and an ACERT request for investigation into this wrongful conduct of these RCMP officers. Plus, we had residents that had come forward with a variety of complaints about the RCMP. So we included these complaints in the ACERT request. Which an ACERT request is you're requesting the RCMP to be investigated for wrongful conduct. And they never did anything. Those ministers never did a thing. And actually, ACERT is playing some games. They came out in public and indicated at this point, there is not an investigation being done, trying to make it sound like that this is something that they're not looking into, in fact, unfortunately, ACERT investigations can take some time before they'll actually start it. But the key thing for people to understand is a mayor of a city can request an ACERT investigation. A public person cannot, but a mayor of a city can request that. And so when we were talking with Mickey Amory and Mike Ellis, they actually gave us that advice to go make this complaint through ACERT. So
were you still mayor at the time? Were you still mayor at the time this was happening?
That is true, yes.
Okay, and so you could officially do that. But again, I'm going back to the mandate that Daniel Smith has written to Minister of Municipalities, Mr. McIver. And one of the points where, as I have to emphasize, it says, I expect you, and in one of the final points, it goes, in collaboration with the Minister of Justice, reviewing the Local Authorities Election Act and making recommendations, but throughout this document, she's making demands that, you know, they work to strengthen the public's trust. And all I'm seeing and hearing here is corruption upon corruption. Regarding finances, regarding the hush money that's been moving between hands, the criminal aspect of it, the collusion with RCMP members in your community, with city councillors, and yet the four of you are the ones that got removed, the true mayor and city council. So, like I say, next step. So are you, so you're taking actions, you've tried to take the right actions through the provincial avenue. So what are your next steps as far as criminal actions against these RCMP officers, against Mr. McIver? Like, what are your next steps?
So we understand there's a few steps. So we have a judicial review that's in the court right now. We've had Rick McIver come out and say that he's canceled judicial review. And unfortunately, residents, that they play on the fact that residents don't fully understand what that means. And so in a lawsuit, when you have multiple parties as plaintiffs, okay, that's the people that are suing the defendant, which is municipal affairs. So the city of Chestermere was one of the plaintiffs, and so were the four of us counselors. So what the city came out and said, what McIver said, was that the city terminated the judicial review. All they did was remove their name from the judicial review. They can't terminate a lawsuit that we are a part of. Like, that's just such nonsense. So, but it doesn't stop them from coming out and saying lies like that. And so we still have a judicial review that the judge indicated that judicial review should be heard before any by-election. And so we're just waiting for a date by the Chief Justice to set a date for that judicial review. On top of that, we are filing a complaint with the RCMP commissioner. So our lawyer is in process of that. What else? One of the other things that we've done is that in our, so we put forward what's called an affidavit and an AOR, an affidavit of record. And so the affidavit that we put forward was over 350 pages long. And so we swear that under oath. Okay. Now, what was really odd about that is that the ministry, municipal affairs, did not even question me on the affidavit. So when you're in court, it's extremely important to question anybody who puts forward an affidavit, because you're trying to poke holes in their evidence. Otherwise, you're saying you agree with that evidence. And so not only did we put forward these various claims as well as the evidence for them, because sometimes people say, oh, you made up that email, you can make it up yourself. That's fraud. And so if you actually did that, that's a criminal offense. So not only did we put that under oath that this is real, they didn't even question us on that. And so, you know, we're continuing to come forward with this kind of evidence. And, you know, you got to remember, during the last 2 years, I was asked three times, and now a fourth, actually, the last 2 days, what would it take? What would I like in order to stop investigating the past?
Mm-hmm.
And I responded in writing to these people. And these are government people that asked me this. I responded in writing to them that, number one, I don't want anything. Number two, if people have committed these crimes, they need to be investigated. I can't be complicit with anything that's offside, anything. And then I also indicated that Chestermere, it's very easy to see that Chestermere has had dollars diverted away from it. We don't have the recreation that many, many, many other cities have of the same size of us. And so I wanted the government to look at giving us grants to try and catch up with the diversion of dollars that has been taken away from us. So it's really about trying to make sure that the corruption is stopped, and that that our government, you know, is held accountable for their actions. And you know, we're just not going to stop until that's the case. I mean, right now I was asked, you know, what would it take for us to walk away from this going after McIver. And I said, listen, these investigations that we've brought forward need to happen, okay? We've made them public. We can't simply wave a wand and all of a sudden they're gone, okay? So those things need to be investigated properly. I mean, this stuff has been taken to the public. I mean, they're going to demand that these things be looked into. And again, we're not out for any venture tactic. We never took the office to go against fight the provincial government. We only took office to try and help Chestermere. That was it.
Well, and as that's what you're called to do as mayor and council is serve your own community, not the needs of the provincial or federal government, but your community. This is what local government is about. And so can I be so bold as to ask who it is that's reaching out to you and asking you to set this aside? I don't know if they've offered you bribes or not, but we've heard from Pastor Artur Pawlowski. They super wanted him not to create a party or run for office. We know the bullying tactics that took place with him. So is there, can you name a few names?
I've been debating about that. It is right now our lawyers indicated that, you know, we shouldn't be bringing this information out. I'm kind of crossed on that because I don't mind anybody coming after us because they can't charge us for slander when it's the truth.
Well, you've got the evidence of it.
We have recorded this.
Yeah,
and we've got recorded conversations of this. So, you know,
it's
just nonsense that, but our lawyer is still saying that allow them the opportunity to, you know, do the right thing. And I just don't have as much faith in that concept with these guys, the way that they've acted. But the time is getting short because we're getting a little bit frustrated with the fact that they continue to do things that are really offside. Like I just heard that, for example, our administrator, who is now the council of Chestermere, is about to agree to a union deal with the firefighters in Chestermere that is going to make the Chestermere firefighters the second highest paid firefighters in all of Alberta.
Why would that be? What's the point in that?
Well, that's the problem. Like when we were just finishing negotiating a union deal for our staff, and there were so many mistakes in the union deal, not to the benefit of the city, to detriment of the staff as well. And when we got removed, this Doug Lagore person immediately accepted everything in the union offering, and it was like, you don't know what you're talking about, and it's just a shame to the Chestermere taxpayers that negotiation didn't continue because that's the job. And this Lagore person is not part of Chestermere. And so these terrible things were just simply sideswiped by this fellow. And he even agreed that to add, we had negotiated with our developers that the next fire hall should be paid for by the developers because the developers are building the community that needs the fire hall. So our philosophy is anything they need, touch or affect, they've got to pay for. And so our developers agreed they were going to pay for that fire hall. And that fire hall was coming in somewhere in the neighborhood of under $10 million. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as we were removed, now Doug Lagore has put forth in our budget that the money that we were saving that was going to go towards a pool and park funding of a hockey rink, which was $17 million, is now going to build a fire hall. And you're like, hold on a second. That's taxpayers' money. It was already agreed to by the developers to fund it. And, you know, it's just terrible that all that hard work, they're going to blow away in the snap of a finger. And you got to ask yourself, when is the offsite levy going to come? 2 years later, 3 years later, that the developers are going to start to pay? So that you're now going to start to see, you know, some kind of unscrupulous activity, you know, going in this deal. And it wasn't quite twice the price, but it was close.
Well,
and it
I
just
mean,
makes no sense because the developers would keep the price down and you'd still get an adequate product. But, you know,
yeah,
so these are some of the unfortunate things that are happening.
This is outrageous, and it does. It needs to be exposed because people will be dealing with this in their own. This is not exclusive to Chestermere. We know that. We know that tax dollars. We know the tax hikes that are going up in communities and within cities across this nation and townships. And it needs to be exposed, and that's why we want to help be on the front line with you exposing this nationwide so that people know what questions to ask and what to look for. But honestly, back to I have to. I just need to go back to this, these individuals that are trying to silence you and brush this under the rug. I'm personally, I don't understand why your lawyer would want to protect those individuals. I mean, by exposing this, by exposing the corruption, what we're even doing last week with Lisa Robinson from Ontario and in her community is exposing the mayor and city council, showing videos. We have the evidence of the corruption going on within the mayor and city council meetings and how they're trying to even not make those videos, or they have control of the videos and wanting to edit them and edit the minutes is so that the public don't actually become aware. And I think this is a shot across the bow. I think mayors and city councils are going to be shaking in their boots because of your courage and those of your city councilors exposing this. After the show, I do a weekly news update. And tonight, David Lindsay is going to be joining me, giving an update of court actions against him. That's with Interior Health. But he has also got the mayor and council from Kelowna, who have admitted that they're taking financing from the government and that they're being forced to implement these global measures. And so therefore, someone like David needs to be silenced. But that's the reason why we need to shout out the names in these people and individuals, because at some point, like in other countries, it's falling apart. The movement is that new governments are getting elected, and it's at that time that justice will be served. So we're keeping records of everyone. And so keep good records. If you're not ready, you know, to name those names today, which, you know, would be incredible, this would be a time, because I'm very frustrated right now knowing that, you know, not only have you been removed unfairly and unjustly, but you've got the RCMP and you've got other individuals who are probably sitting within government right now trying to silence you, possibly even trying to bribe you eventually.
Well, and we had, just so we're clear, we filed an injunction after we were removed, which is to, I guess, reverse the decision to remove us. And so we were unsuccessful with that. But a lot of times people aren't understanding what an injunction is. It's not a lawsuit. So what an injunction is you have to demonstrate harm. And so what they said is that we didn't demonstrate enough harm to ourselves in the process, is what the court said, and said we didn't even try to demonstrate harm to ourselves. We were demonstrating harm to the community as to what was being done to the taxpayers and what we were trying to stop the corruption and the wasteful of taxpayers' money. So it's important that people understand that the lawsuit, which is the judicial review, has not been heard, and that brings in all of the evidence. The injunction is only about what harm are you suffering by the decision being made? And so even though we feel like, you know, that the judge erred in that decision, the test is very hard for an injunction to still occur. But that was the main indicator, is that we hadn't proven the harm towards us personally. And it was like, well, that was never the goal. The goal was the protection of taxpayers. That was the goal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is something that we're going to continue to fight. And really, I think the message that taxpayers need to look at is that government needs to do better in saving and not wasting money, because taxes shouldn't be the biggest problem to residents and whatnot that they're experiencing. And, you know, we just have to do a better job. And we've uncovered a lot of corruption that the government was not interested in investigating, that was covering up. And that in itself is wrong, because you have to have confidence in your government that they're going to look into these things. And so we have no problem getting into court, going under oath. What we're trying to do, and which we're about to, is commence another legal action, which will get Rick McIver and some of these other people under oath directly. Because the whole point is to get these people to actually tell the truth.
Right.
That's the only thing that matters. And we're not scared of that at all. We're totally okay with everything we've done and said. And it just is really problematic how challenging it is to get these people under oath and telling the truth. But, you know, we feel confident that we're going to be able to do that very shortly, actually.
Well, I'm praying for an excellent result and that there will be justice in the courts. I had mentioned David Lindsay, and I'm going to send you an email from him because he's written one of the only books in Canada of how to lay a private information, and that's criminal charges against another individual going directly, to the Crown? And so I'd like to help make that connection. He'd actually help you go step by step in filing those charges. Anyways, we'll have a private conversation if that's something that you want to pursue. But we, as Canadians, the viewers, want to see you successfully take these individuals to court and that justice would prevail. So I understand that you are now taking this to the road. You have been going from community to community to expose the corruption. I've heard that some of your town halls last as long as 3 hours, because I'm sure that people have a lot of questions. I mean, the majority of Canadians know that our governments are corrupt. That means at the provincial level and at the municipal level, and obviously at the federal level. And I believe that one of the best ways, because we're such an amazingly large country, it's a little more difficult to turn over everything over by voting in a few new people, and the populist movement succeeds and the country starts back on track. We have a very large country, and that's why Action for Canada is vetting citizens within their own communities, creating these chapters and getting them to work on just that, and then raising up good people to run for office so that we could replace them. But it's very frustrating and very concerning to see an incredible individual like yourself, a man of high integrity, and the rest of the councillors that have been removed with you. This is very concerning for the rest of us who are fighting so hard, and we got to hit harder at the provincial level. We've got to press in further with the premier, because you know what? She's not above the law. And she may think that the courts are covering her, as does Mr. MacGyver, but I think eventually things are going to start to fall apart, and they better decide real soon what side of this they're going to be on.
Well, and these investigations that we had started that Rick MacGyver stopped without having them looked into is obviously judicial interference. And what we're doing is we're going to court to get a judge to order those investigations to be completed. Because they tie in all of this. They tie in the RCMP, they tie in corruption, they tie in kickbacks. We had a developer come to us with a $6 million kickback. We didn't uncover it. He did. He was there at the time it happened on the building of a bridge. And so he brought us all this evidence, and we brought that to the government, to the RCMP, as well as we gave it to Rick MacGyver. And none of them did nothing about it. And so, you know, it's pretty incredible that these things are happening, and people were seeing us as the few that were willing to actually look at stuff and actually be able to stand up and provide that these things need to be looked into. We're not supposed to be the investigator or the adjudicator. That's not our job. What our job is, though, is to pass that on to the authorities, and the authorities need to look into it. Now, if it turns out that they believe that, or they determine that it's not that, that's okay. That is totally okay. That is their job, though. And to have that cut short, that's interference. And Rick MacGyver has no right to do that, because he's not above the law. And that's, you know, one of the things we all have to remember is that we're only here to try and help as a group that's working together as a, you know, it's almost like a co-op for your community. You know, we're hired by our residents, and we're hired to do our job, and we have to treat them with respect, and we've got to make sure that we're respecting their dollars. And, you know, and that's, I think that's lost on government these days.
I'm going to have to
leave, though.
Yeah.
And head to our event here.
Yeah, I was looking at the time. It's been about an hour and a half, and apologies that we should have thought to turn your camera off sooner. And Trendio's come up with a good alternative there, so this has worked out very well. But I want to say, you know, that people may feel like they're losing hope right now because of this incident, but I want you to understand, if you look at what's happening throughout governments across Canada right now, even at the federal level, because of all the pushback, we are changing the conversation in government. We are changing the trajectory. Even the Conservative Party, who would not talk on issues that we have been demanding for the last 8 or 9 years, are finally talking on those issues. And the reason is not because they're filled with integrity and because they believe in these issues, but because they want to get reelected. So don't reelect those individuals that are sitting right now in government, but understand that everybody's voice matters. And in this situation, thank you, Martina. I see already in the chat, she says Jeff Colvin and the councillors need to be reinstated and Rick MacGyver removed. She goes, I'll be calling Daniel Smith's office tomorrow. And all you have to do is Google her office. You can get her email in her office. But you know what? This is the time. She wants to talk about building trust within communities and building those bridges. Well, she better put her money where her mouth is and step up and take care of this situation in Chestermere and get Mayor MacGyver reinstated, as well as those councillors. Mayor Colvin and the councillors reinstated. So Mayor Colvin, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us tonight and telling the story. Thank you for your courage. And we encourage you to reach out if you got some good news reports or something else that you want to discuss. I would be so very happy to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Tanya, and I so appreciate the opportunity. And we'd love to come on with a proper Wi-Fi.
Yes, that would be great. I'd appreciate it.
Show some of the evidence, and you'll be able to see it.
Well, and I do want to talk more about whether or not the globalists have been reaching out to you while you were in office with the ICLEI strong mayors and the rest of it, if there was any incentives, things like that. I'd like to have you back on the show. But also, sure. I want to hear, some good updates. Can you just tell us, how can our viewers follow your work? There's a lot of people that we have that are members in Alberta that would love to attend an event. Is there a schedule somewhere that they can go to find that?
I'll just type in our email address.
Okay, and we'll be
sure. We do have a webpage that we're just finishing, so that'll have the schedule on it as well.
Okay, do you have a name for the website when it is ready?
I'll type that in.
Okay, and we'll make sure that we add this to the description when we post this on Rumble. So it will be cleanupalberta.ca. It's not quite launched yet. So for our viewers to know, just keep checking back. Chestermere4@gmail.com is the email if you want to find out events that may be close to you or get a copy of the schedule. So again, thank you so much. Great success to you tonight as you talk to a group of people. And just God bless you and all that you're doing. Thank you, Mayor Colvin.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
You too. Wow, that was amazing. All right. I'm a little sad about the original connection, but I think that the story is so compelling. I'm going to be very interested to know who's reaching out to Mayor Colvin. And this is very disturbing information, and we'll be hopefully on the front line of providing you that information as well. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to head into the weekly news update for all of you who will want to stay on. David Lindsay will be joining me tonight to talk about his case. He was potentially going to end up in jail last week. And so we're going to talk about his case and what's up and coming. Give us a thumbs up on Rumble and then subscribe to our Rumble page and share this video. Okay, next week on the show, we are going to have Dr. Mackey's come on. Previously, he was on and telling us about the horrendous situation with Alberta Health and BC Health covering up for pedophilia. And that ring, that was an amazing show. This time he's coming on, as promised, to talk about the turbo cancers and the treatments. I'm so sad because I've just had received a text that a loved one, a family member, one of their family members has had felt a need to take the jab. It's a very young person, and that they were having some problems with their health, and it ends up that a brain scan has shown a blood clot that could eventually lead to seizures. seizures. And you and I all know where this is coming from. And so right away, my heart is, I can't wait to get this show out with Dr. Mackies. I did a pre-record with him on Monday because of potential traveling I'll be doing next week, but it is amazing. We first cover some of the turbo cancers, what they look like, how they're forming, and what's behind it. Then we talk about, man, the corrupt big pharma and Merck coming together with these new turbo cancer vaccines in order to, how timely was that? And they're taking advantage of people when they're so vulnerable. Most people are being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so they say they're coming up with a solution. I'd like to know if ivermectin or fenbendazole is in as a part of that little cocktail. It's just disgusting, so criminal. Anyways, we talk about that. And then we move into very amazing detail that I hadn't heard anywhere else. I'm actually going to take that clip and I'll be putting it on our Action for Canada. Under COVID-19, you'll see treatments, third treatment page down. We have some of Dr. McCullough's protocols, and I'll be attaching and providing Dr. Mackey's additional protocols, which includes fasting, some supplements and other information that I pray and hope will be very uplifting. And hopefully, I'm hoping and praying that, you know, people will be able to recover from many of the adverse effects. As Dr. Mackey says, this is not a treatment that will cure the system out of this, but it will be ongoing, most likely, for the rest of your life, for people who have been vaccine injured. But please join us next week. And then, like I say, please, please share all of our information. The week after, real quick, Rob Anders is coming on. I got this organized today and I was excited about it because I know a lot of you are really concerned about the digital banking. I've been seeing stuff on Twitter this week about a guy in Canada who went to take $3,000 out and the teller was demanding he provide him the reasons why he was taking that money out and saying she would only give him a money order. You know what? We got to smack down. We got to come against this with our banks. You got to start pulling your cash out again, invest in silver and gold or do something, but just for the point to tell the banksters, you're not in control of our finances. We're not going to support this digital ID system that you are just, they're just biding their time until everything is ready to get up and going. And then again, in Australia, who has just implemented the CBDCs, and another guy went to the bank to get his money out. Now in Canada, though, finished that thought that he was going across the same thing. He was like, you know, he couldn't get his cash. And so we know that this is, you know, a threat against Canadians. It's a social credit system. And we want to find out tools in ways that we can fight back. So Rob is going to be coming on and giving a great presentation. That'll be May 1st. So mark it on your calendar. All right. I always love closing off with a couple of Bible verses. And today, I love this one from Psalm 28, 4. It is that, repay them according to their deeds and for their works of evil. Repay them for what their hands have done. Bring back on them what they deserve. I was a little surprised by that verse, right? And it's like, we're not, vengeance is the Lord's. We're not to repay people in like, but we are to seek justice and we are to expose the evil. So let's go to the next verse. And this is from Psalms 2, 10 to 12. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And this is why Action for Canada is just boldly coming out all the time and saying, we're a Christian nation and I'm going to bellow it from the mountaintops. And it's so important. And you can be a non-believer in Canada and you can live in freedom. You can't do that in other nations. And God takes this very seriously, this corruption in government. Justin Trudeau is not going to get away with this. I had mentioned Paul from the Bible. His name was previously Saul, and he was annihilating Christians. Originally, he was a very evil man, and he had a what's called a road to Damascus moment where God got a hold of him So even evil leaders, that's why we're to pray for these evil leaders, that either God would raise them up or take them out, but that they would have a road to Damascus moment, and that they would turn from their wicked ways and do what is right and good. And then just in finishing up, I was reading in Habakkuk this morning, and I'm not going to read actually any verses right now. Well, it's one in chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. So there's nothing new under the sun, right? What they were experiencing back in biblical times is exactly like what we feel right now. Isn't that perfect? The law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. But God has called on us to meet him in the courts, and that there will be justice. So I'm going to hold to that promise. But in the forward here, it said, when violence and corruption abound and evil appears to rule, the faithful may be tempted to wonder whether God really cares, or is he really in control? Habakkuk's dialogue helps us to understand that God does not despise such questions when they are carried to him in prayer from an honest heart. Believers must be willing to accept God's answers, right? Because throughout history, God is in control of history, that his dealings are always just and right. But he does allow evil to prevail for a time when we turn our backs on him. And that's what we've turned our backs on God for a long time in Canada. And we've allowed evil individuals, some of you even voted evil individuals into office. So you need to repent. That's what God's saying, like repent and say, I'm so sorry for doing this, Lord. I'm awake and I'm aware now, because we want God to heal our land. Our whole purpose is that in Chronicles, it says that we are to humble ourselves and pray and to repent and get our lives right with God. How do we participate in this? And that God promises if we do this, he'll heal our lands. And so believers must be willing to accept God's answer and delight in his will, even if those are completely foreign to their own thinking. So some of this is so foreign to our thinking. We're like, how can this all be happening? But it's because God is teaching us through it. And he's saying we participated in permitting this evil to rise up in our land. And so God is saying that he clearly and deeply cares about what happens here on earth. And he's giving us a window of opportunity to make things right. So anyways, I hope that encourages you, that I, as a Christian, I don't live by fear. I definitely get concerned. I've got kids and grandkids, but that's what puts the fight in me. That's what gives us the warrior spirit. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that we are to be doormats and that we have to be tolerant. In fact, the Bible is clear that there are 10 commandments. One of those major first commandments is that you shall have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God. What have we done? We've allowed people to come into our nation to raise up false gods. And so then our kids are getting lured into false religions that are backed by demonic spirits. And that's not an unlovely thing to say. There is only one true way to salvation, and it is through Jesus Christ dying and rising again on that cross. And by going to any other religion and saying, I respect your religion, that gives me very deep concern for the individual that doesn't know the way to Jesus Christ. And that is the true salvation. And so we will boldly speak out. We will boldly encourage you. But the thing we won't do is to force you to accept our beliefs. All right. We just want to present them to you. Pray about them, ask God to speak to you, and you will be amazed at what happens. So thanks for joining us this week and for the weekly news update and for the Empower Hour. God bless you and God bless Canada.
Today's episode was sponsored by Galatians 5:1 Freedom Coffee. Galatians 5:1 is the first freedom-fighting coffee company focused on bringing unity back into community by bridging the divide with gourmet coffee. It goes beyond fueling the fight for freedom. Action for Canada receives 10% of all coffee sales made. Galatians 5:1 offer a wide selection of coffee products. Go to Galatians51freedom.coffee to choose your own personal coffee experience made just for you.
virtuous hearts will pursue it. You have a virtuous heart if you are here today pursuing freedom and righteousness. And then verse 23 comes along with a promise. God says he will turn the sins of evil people back on them. He will destroy them for their sins. So I am just going to thank you so much. I'm going to say God bless you and God bless Canada. Yeah.